The sermon you are about to hear was preached by Dr. Bob Gray Sr. from the pulpit of Longview Baptist Temple, where he pastored the greatest soul-winning church of our time for over 29 years. Through the course of his ministry, over 1 million souls were led to Christ. And now, here is Dr. Bob Gray Sr.
I want you to underline the little statement, little by little, and I want to talk to you this morning about that subject, little by little. I fear that impatience has caused a lot of God's people to destroy their lives, and we don't understand the principle of time, the investment of time. And I want to talk to you just for a few moments about little by little. Now, Father, help us now. Talk to us this morning and give us exactly what we need. And there's nobody here so smart that they don't need to listen to the man of God, listen to the word of God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to help me to help, please. My heart aches when I see people wreck their lives, and my heart goes out to the folk. But if they had just listened before, they wouldn't have gotten themselves in trouble. And those right now don't have their eyes closed, not even praying, but just looking around. They're just asking for trouble. And Father, I pray that somehow you'll get a hold of their hearts this morning. The young Christian, get a hold of them. Older Christian, get a hold of them. Talk to us now, please. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. I want you to write down Joshua chapter 10. We'll not turn there. But we have in Joshua chapter 10 an account of the conquest of the kings and kingdoms of the southern part of the land of Canaan. Joshua and the host of Israel had mastered won a victory. Jericho by miracle, Ai by manpower, and Gibeon by mandate. And as that was that was the complete extent of their progress into the Canaan at that time in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua's impatience at Ai and the lack of prayer, please listen now, along with the monster of self-sufficiency and the companion of lust through Achan, you remember, has caused Joshua to be clothed with caution. Now, it took 7 long years of struggles, strategy, and stubbornness to bring Canaan, the land of promise, to the people of promise, and God said it would not be done in a day. No doubt those among them were impatient at delays and probably upset with and probably complained because of Joshua's slowness, and probably asked why, and they couldn't strike immediately in the heart of Canaan and take it right now before the enemy could rally their forces. Please listen. Many of Satan's traps are baited with the enticing bait of impatience. It took Moses 80 years to prepare to lead God's people, but we're ready after 1 year. The bait of impatience is dangerous. We look at the beauty of a bride, but do not look at the burden of a bride and say, I want to get married now. We look at the brawn of the bridegroom, but we do not see the burden of the bridegroom and say, I want to get married now. We see the so-called prestige of the pulpit and want the privileges, but not the pressures. We want to be called pastor and get the respect, but don't want the responsibility. You want the new car now. You want the new house now. You want the new furniture now. You want the new clothes now. You want the new shoes now. And the sins of wanting needs to be replaced with the sensibility of waiting. God said, little by little. Say that with me. Little by little. Say it again. Little by little. He said, I'll drive out the Canaanites, but I'm not going to do it overnight. Together we'll do it little by little. Now please listen. You don't get saved and become completely surrendered at the same time. And then you don't completely become completely sanctified. And then you don't become completely separated. And then you don't become completely spirit-filled all in one swift moment. God said little by little the victorious Christian life would occur. It matters not how small the beginning may seem to be, but what is once well done is done forever. Between the great things we cannot do and the small things we will not do, the danger is that we shall do nothing. If you're too big to willingly do little things, you're probably too little to be trusted with big things. And God said, little by little. Say that with me. Little by little. Say it again. Little by little. Now, we want it now, but God says little by little. Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. A man without patience is like a lamp without oil. A man without patience is like a car without gas. A man without patience is like a store without goods. It's like a rose without a fragrance, and like a plane without fuel. Let me give you something Abraham Lincoln said. Listen to this. You won't listen to the Bible, so I'll try something else. Abraham Lincoln, he said this. A man watched his pear tree day after day, impatient for the ripening of the fruit. Let him attempt to force the process, and he may spoil both fruit and tree. But let him patiently wait, listen to this, and the ripe fruit at length falls into his lap. God said, little by little, Canaan shall be taken. Now, Satan comes along and offers you, do it now. Do it now. But he's a liar. Always has been a liar. Shortcuts usually create short circuits. Somewhere in here, you need to understand God's principle here is little by little. Somebody said this, and I wrote it down. Failing may slow you up enough to keep you from failure. So instead of getting mad and saying, why can't I do it now? It may be that God's cautiously causing you to slow up so that you'll not become a failure. A farmer whose corn crop hadn't done well decided to borrow from his prosperous neighbor's field. With a large sack tucked under his arm and his small son dogging his footsteps, he hurried to the distant corner of that field, and on arrival he peered cautiously to the left and to the right, gazed to see if anybody was looking, and looked behind him, looked ahead of him to make sure he wasn't being watched. And just as he reached out his hand to pluck the first ear of corn, his son cried out, Daddy, you forgot to look up. You forgot to look up. God said little by little. Hasty climbers have sudden falls, little by little. Composer Stravinsky's publishers urged him to hurry the completion of a new composition. Listen to what he said. Here's what he wrote back. Hurry, he cried, wrote angrily. I never hurry. I have no time to hurry. And boy, he was absolutely right. Emerson said, nature never hurries. Atom by atom, little by little, she achieves her work. And God said, little by little. Now, our God is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with anyone. And there's no room for you and God both to rule your life. So little by little, God said, the land will be conquered. Why? So you'll be reminded that the battle belongs to the Lord. So little by little, we have to be reminded. We steal like Achan did that first fruit that belongs to God and end up suffering defeat. The first city of 10 cities belonged to God. And then we end up getting ourselves in trouble, and then we wonder why. And the truth is, it's little by little your finances will be taken care of. Little by little your marriage will grow. Little by little the children are reared. Little by little you grow in the Lord. Little by little the bus route is built. Little by little the Sunday school class is built. Little by little the church is built. Little by little the business is built. And that's God's principle, and that's what God intended for all of us to learn. God said, little by little, the land will be conquered. When Satan knocks, someone wrote, just send Christ to the door. That's a good answer, isn't it? And so when Satan tries to tempt you, you just send the Lord to answer the door. Little by little, testing separates, purifies, stabilizes, sanctifies, and strengthens. We don't need to join the Bible of the Month Club. We don't need to join the Bad News for Modern Man crowd. We don't need to have the Revised Perversion crowd, our crowd, the Ecumenical crowd, the Ministerial Assassination group. Little by little, we learn by experience the traps of this one world church and one world government and one world race, and we find ourselves being pressured by the world to give in. But the truth is, I'm God's child. And if I'm God's child and God said, you're going to take the victorious Christian life little by little, then I've got to listen to God and do it little by little. When you become so impatient with God that you're not getting it now, and you become impatient with God, you're about to set yourself up for a fall, and you'll end up wrecking your life. Impatience, impatience, impatience. Little by little, little by little. The traps of fundamentalists forming fellowships with children from the Catholic Church. I'm not a Protestant, and I'm not a child of the great whore at all. And I'm not coming back to it at all. I'm God's child. But we want to rush it. We want to get it done quickly. And the truth is, it's little by little. Let me give you several areas. Number one, the battles. the battles of life, little by little. The struggles, the battle of the flesh, the battle of the child-rearing, the battle of marriage, the battle of your job, your business, whatever it might be. It's a battle, but it's going to be won little by little. It's not going to be won in one battle. It's battle after battle after battle before the victory comes. That's how it's going to happen. So you and I, why don't you just relax and live today? Why don't you just relax and let God give you the victory today? Just relax in the battle. And, you know, they say about golfers, the more relaxed you are, the better you hit the ball. About bowlers, the more relaxed you are, the more about anything. But when you get all tense, you're not able. I don't care what it is, but the same thing is true about spiritual things too. Yeah, look, folks, God is the one that's in control of this thing, not you. What you'd better do is you better decide to be the best husband you can be the best wife you can be the best dad that you could be the best mom that you could be, and let God work it out little by little. But you just be what you're supposed to be, little by little, the battles. On his 85th birthday, John Wesley wrote in his diary, listen to this now, 85th birthday, listen to this, I find some decay in my memory. Here, I'm 59, can't find my car keys and think I got Alzheimer's. I find some decay in my memory with regard to names and things lately passed, but not at all about that which I read 20, 40, or 60 years ago. Nor do I feel any weariness, either in traveling or preaching. To what cause can I impute this? First, to the power of God, fitting me to the work of God I am called. And next, to the prayers of his children. Then may I also impute it to these inferior things, my constant exercise and change of air, my never leaving lost a night's sleep, sick or well, on land or at sea since I was born, by my having slept at command, whether day or night. Some of you do it in church on command. My having risen constantly at 4 a.m. for about 60 years, my constant preaching at 5 a.m. for about 50 years, and my having so little pain, sorrow, or anxious care in life. 85 years of age. You're ready to kill people right now, and you're 13. Man, it's amazing. But I think what happens is we forget that the battle is the Lord's. And we forget it, and so we're little by little, little by little. You know, you just don't tell a kid one time and say, well, that took care of that. I won't have to tell that kid again. You don't do that. And a preacher doesn't get up and preach one sermon and say, well, we'll never have to worry about that again. Boy, that sermon took care of that. You don't have to tell the bus workers one time to do something. Say, well, that took care of that. We'll never have to have another meeting. No, it doesn't work that way. It's always reminders and recycling of thoughts and truths in order to be able to remind our children and remind ourselves and remind our wife and remind our husband and remind the church and remind the people we work with. It's a constant reminder. The battles of life. There are some 23 million Americans above the age of 65 and some 12,000 above age 100. If medical science finds an answer to the hardening of the arteries, there may be as many as 150 million over 65 in the next 10 years. The largest senior citizen organization in the U.S. are the National Council of Senior Citizens. They've got almost 5 million members. And these folks have all said that the folks who've grown old are the ones who did not have anxious care in life. That's what they said. No anxious care in life. But we do. And we shouldn't. The battles are there. But they're won little by little. Get up in the morning, read your Bible, pray, spend some time with God, go do what you've got to do, and let God take care of the winning of the land in Canaan, little by little. Number two, write this down, growth. Growth. Growth is going to come little by little. He talked to them until thou be increased. He mentioned them in verses 30 and 31. The growth, it is little by little. Now let me pause and say something here. If you have a child who is not as spiritual as you think they are, then why don't you become a little bit more patient, and why don't you allow them to grow? If you have a husband that's not growing like you think he ought to grow, why don't you allow him to grow little by little? And if your marriage is not where you think it ought to be, instead of you just divorcing and running off and say, well, I'm tired of being married now, why don't you decide to grow little by little in that relationship with your wife, with your husband? Why don't you, instead of you say, well, my parents never will understand, why don't you decide to grow little by little in your relationship with your parents? Don't be so anxious about life that you throw in the towel with your bus route, throw in the towel with your Sunday school class, throw in the towel with your marriage, throw in the towel with your business. Don't do that. Somebody's going to have to slow up in this day of instant everything, instant popcorn, instant coffee, instant everything. Boy, if we don't get it right now, I fly all the time and in airplanes, not myself. Boy, those people that travel, if they'll get mad, and boy, they'll let the fella have. Look, you know something I figured out? If the pilot doesn't want to fly, I don't either. I don't care if I'm 3 days late. I was flying to Detroit to preach for Dr. John Vaberzan years ago, and we circled and circled and circled and circled and circled and circled and circled. And everybody on the plane said, well, why don't you land this thing? Why don't you land this thing? And I kept saying to everybody, if the pilot don't want to land it, I don't want to land it. When he decides to land a thing, he can land it. And I was supposed to preach at 7 o'clock. We landed. By the time I got to the church, it was 10 o'clock, and all the people were still there. And buddy, we had a service. I mean, the people just sang and sang, and the more they sang, the happier they got, and they started testifying, and the next thing you know, there was a revival. The time I got there, I killed it when I got there, but there was a revival going on. Hey, but wait a minute now. I didn't want that guy landing that plane in that soup and that storm until that he was decided that it was okay for him to land. Is anybody listening to me? And yet that's what you want to do with life. You get so, I want it now. I can't wait for it. Not going to wait for it. And we're going to force it to happen now. You can't do that. I don't care what it is in life, and especially this matter of growth. You allow yourself to, don't be so hard on yourself. If you're a young Christian this morning, don't compare yourself to somebody that's an older Christian and say, well, why can't I be like them? Because they're not satisfied themselves. Nobody's satisfied with themselves. Everybody's upset with themselves because they're not doing what they ought to do, and there's a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. We're all fighting the same battle. Nobody ever arrives until you die. And when you die or you awaken his likeness and the rapture takes place, then you're going to be satisfied, Psalm 14. But you're not going to be satisfied till you awaken his likeness. And until then, you're going to be dissatisfied. But don't get upset with God, or don't get upset with your growth. That's just part of growth. Why don't you walk in the nursery, grab your kid and shake him and say, why aren't you walking? Now that's dumb. Well, that's about as dumb as you saying to your husband, why aren't you as spiritual as I think you ought to be? In the first place, I worry about you wives who think your husband isn't what he ought to be. Somewhere in here, you better relax a little bit. And I'm not talking about you ought to seek counsel and make sure you make right decisions and so on like that. And I understand that. But you pray and you be what you ought to be, and you take the stand you ought to take, and you allow God. And I'm going to tell you right now, if your husband says we ain't going to church, you just get in your car and go to church. If your husband says you ain't going to read your Bible, you get that Bible down and read it, because you're a child of God, and no man has a right to keep you from serving God. Nobody does. Now, I'm saying to you, the matter of this growth, this is so important. When you get older, you need to understand your life, you need to continue to grow. You know, all of the great churches weren't built until the preacher got into his 60s. Do you know that Bob Jones didn't even move Bob Jones University till he was in his late 60s? He moved Bob Jones. I mean, all the great men who've accomplished great, you don't get any sense till you get there. And the truth of the matter is, it's a constant slow growth that takes place in a person's life. Don't throw up your hands and say, well, I guess this will never happen. You're 13. Everything's not been given to you by the time you're 14, you see, or by the time you're 20. That's why you girls who allow boys to put their hands on you before you get married, let me tell you something, he'll put his hands on another girl when you get married, because he's used to doing it outside of marriage. Brother Bob told me he saw, and the man's in this room this morning, saw him kissing in a truck and hugging on another girl that just happened to be somebody else's wife. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a God in heaven and you're not going to get away with it. And by the way, I wouldn't be running with that guy when God decides to drop the hammer. Don't walk out now. We'll know who it is. Now, I'm telling you right now, this what happens is we want, the lust takes over, the flesh takes over. And the next thing you know, we don't want to get married and do it decently. We don't want to be a husband and take the responsibility. We want to act like a bunch of hogs in a hog pen and a bunch of dogs in heat. And that's all you are, and I wouldn't trust you as far as I could throw you. But somewhere and we get impatient and we start acting like a bunch of barnyard animals and we act like we haven't got any sense. You are a human being. You're God's child. Keep the dignity of humanity. Keep the decency of humanity alive. I don't know if you travel here or not, but some of you men do travel. But I'm embarrassed by the way the lack of clothes that women wear and men wear when they travel. Man, you'd think they were going to the beach when they got on an airplane. I'm sick of looking at hairy legs on men and a little flip-flops and girls walking around showing their rear end and their belly button and everything. I'm talking about public. I'm talking about it. It's a shame. And you Christians ought not dress that way, ought not act that way. Quit imitating the world. You're going to wreck your life little by little. May I say number three, the testings. Not only the battles, not only the growth, but the testings. The testings of life come little by little. The testings of life. Moses was 80 when God called him. Although he had a lot of excuses, he never mentioned one time his old age. Not one time did he mention it. You know, we don't think about this, but you are to continue. Okay, Socrates gave the world his wisest philosophy at 70. Plato was only a student at 50. A student. He did his best after he reached 60. Michelangelo was still composing poetry and designing structures in his 89th year of living. He painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel on his back on a scaffold at almost 90 years of age. Folks, you've got a long way to go yet. And what you better do is you better realize that everything you're going to gain in life is going to be according to this Bible principle, and it's going to be little by little. Now, when you feel like, wake up now, when you feel like that I got to have it now, that's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. I've got to have this now. My life is not complete unless I have this now. You are going to get yourself in serious trouble. And God said, I will not drive out the Hittites. I will not drive them out. I will not give you this land overnight. I want you to understand what life is all about. I'm not just going to hand it to you on a silver platter. And don't you think for a second that God Almighty couldn't have come down and wiped out the entire land of Canaan and said, go to the heart of it. It belongs to you now. But please listen to me, Mom and Dad. It takes some time, little by little. You teach truths, little by little. You have family devotions, little by little. You teach right and wrong, little by little. You do it little by little. And you young people quit saying, I've got to reach for the stars and have the star now. You don't have to. You just do what you're supposed to do today. Wake up tomorrow. How many lives have been wrecked? Because we didn't want to do it little by little. How many marriages? Give your wife a chance to grow. Maybe she won't be like her mother. You never know. Well, that one died, didn't it? Little by little. Little by little. May I say, number one, the battles. Number two, the growth. Number three, the testings. Number four, faith. Faith. Your faith started out as a mustard seed. Okay? It's supposed to grow. So you place your faith in Christ. He gives you more faith. You place your faith in Christ, he gives you more faith. You place your faith back in Christ, then he gives you more faith. The activity of faith placed, you're going to place it somewhere. Put that faith in Christ. Take that book down and say, read everything you can about marriage. Read everything you can about child rearing. Read everything you can about whatever area of life you're dealing with, whether it be a matter of leadership, whether it be a matter of owner of a company, whether it be a matter of somebody working for you, you being a boss and them being an employee, or working with somebody, or child rearing, or husband-wife relationship. I'm just saying, family relationship. I'm just saying to you that somewhere here, we better get that book down, and we better read that book and find out just exactly what we're supposed to do, and then get up and put some faith in it and put some action to it. But it's finance. If you're not tithing, your finances are going to be a mess. You better settle down and say, I've got to tithe. I don't want this part of my life to be a mess. Let me tell you, you need to quit demanding of your wife what you don't demand of yourself. You need to quit demanding of your husband what you do not demand of yourself. Everybody wants the husband to be loving. Everybody wants the husband to be kind. Everybody wants the... I'm trying. Come on, fellas, help me now. Us poor husbands. Everybody demands that. But what about your unkind words? What about your nagging? What about your screaming? What about your... Boy, they got somebody in the choir that time. That was Bob. He's not even married yet, and he's got troubles. But somewhere in here, you're going to have to understand, we're going to have to quit demanding of others. Look, for example, let me tell you something. I would never counsel somebody else's church member. Never. 5 phone calls this week, people asking me to counsel, and I said, have you gotten permission from your pastor? I will not do it. Now, others counsel our people all the time, but I'll not do it. But I'm not going to condemn him because he doesn't believe like I do about the ethics of it. Now please listen to me. I would never hire anybody without picking up the phone and calling the pastor where that person was and say, tell me about that person. I'd never do it. I'd always call. But when others don't call me and they hire our people, I don't demand of them the same justice that I require myself. And I'm going to tell you, there's a great principle. That's how you keep a smile on your face, and that's how you keep a... You quit demanding of your wife what you don't even do yourself. You quit demanding of your husband what you don't even demand of yourself. And what happens is we want let others grow little by little. You grow little by little. You gain a little bit more each day. You put some more faith in Christ each day, and you keep growing. And we're not going to accomplish this thing little by little. In fact, I hate to tell you this, but until you die, you're never ever going to be satisfied. Because when you awaken his likeness, then you'll be satisfied. The struggles won't be there. So it's going to be a constant little by little. So God said, if you can forget it, pal, I'm not going to wipe out Canaan for you. And I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to do it for anybody. You're going to have to take it little by little. And the battles are there. Look, what happens here is, if you decided you aren't going soul winning, you decided to go soul winning. The first 20 people you talked to, all of them got saved. All of them came to church. All of them walked the aisle. All of them got baptized. All of them decided to go to Bible college to be missionaries to Afghanistan. We couldn't live with you. Why, your head would be so big, you'd have to grease it to get it in the back door. You'd go home and write a book on soul winning, the top 10 soul winners in America, and how I led them all to Christ. Now, that's... God knows that about us. So what does God do? The testing is there. The testing is there. The testing is there. Why? Because when it's over, we say, glory to God, look what God did. Glory to God. Hey, look what God did. Look how God took care of that. Look how God protected there. Look how God blessed there. Why? Because God said, I am not going to share my glory with a human being, and I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to... Why? I remember my younger brother. He'd get himself in fights in school, and he'd run home from school, and there would be a bunch of guys chasing him. He'd run the door, holler for me. I'd step out in the front porch. I was a senior in high school. Stepped out in the front porch, and all these guys chasing my brother, and he'd turn his back on me, and he'd stick his tongue out at them. They'd see me, and they'd turn around, and they'd leave. One day, he come running down and hollered for me. I stepped out in the front porch. He turned around, stuck his tongue out. I went back in the house. When I went back in the house, you know what happened? Those 5 guys got on that front porch and beat the snot out of him. I mean, they just waylaid him on the, and he deserved it. He deserved it. And he got it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you just say, God, wipe this, and God, take care of this, and wipe this enemy out, and take care of this, and give me this now. No, God said little by little. Say it with me. Little by little. Say it again. Little by little. Hey, girl, hey, turn around, look at me. Turn around, look at me. Hey, young lady, turn around. This way. Say it little by little. Little by little. Turn around, little by little. Say it again. What? little by little. So when it comes to the battles of life, you remember what God taught us here. When it comes to this matter of growth in you or others around you, you remember what God taught us here. When it comes to this matter of testings of life, you remember what God taught us here. When it comes to this matter of faith, you remember what God taught us here. Write down experience. You're not going to gain experience overnight. It's going to come little by little. It's not going to happen overnight. So for you to think that it's going to happen over, I asked for his formula for a long life. Dr. Arthur Brown, a preacher celebrating his 103rd birthday, here's what he said. Equip said, don't die. I said, what's the secret of life? Don't die. Now, you know what he was saying? He's saying, I'm living. I'm living every day. That's what he's saying. I'm living. I don't want to die. I'm living. I got something to live for. The challenges of life. You look, these are challenges. This land of Canaan is a challenge. This victorious Christian life, don't run. Not time to run now. This is a challenge. Pull the sword. Go to battle. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your husband. Fight for your children. Fight for your family, young people. Fight for God. Fight for that Sunday school class. Fight for that bus ride. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's always going to be. And God said, I'm doing this on purpose. Well, God, you must hate us. No, I don't hate you at all. I want you to be strong. So what I'm going to do, yes, you're going to take the land of Canaan. You're going to be in the victorious Christian life. But I promise you, you are going to do it little by little. So the next time you decide to throw in the towel, the next time you decide to quit because it just didn't happen as quick as you thought it was going to happen, you remember what God said. God said to his children, nope, not going to wipe it out for you. Nope, not going to kill them for you. I'm not going to do it. It's going to be little by little, little by little. Isn't it amazing? The great churches, Dr. Jack House, 40 some years. Just look at Dr. Lee Robertson. Don't you know that they went through battle after battle after battle after battle? Dr. Curtis Hudson was telling me that Dr. Lee Robertson was having a stewardship banquet, and he was standing telling about a new building they were going to build, and one of the laymen stood up and challenged Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Curtis Hudson was sitting on the platform. He was the speaker that night. And Dr. Lee Robertson turned around, called the guy's name, and he said, my brother, this is not the place for it. Sit down or I'll sit you down. Dr. Lee Robertson. Now, Dr. Robertson was 80 years of age. He said, you sit down, my brother, or I'll sit you down. Now, he was not 20. He was not 25, but he believed it. Curtis Hudson said, I sat there and said to myself, he better sit down. And he said, I looked over at the guy, and the guy sat down. Because he believed Dr. Robertson was going to come down there and sit him down if he didn't sit down. Now, Dr. Robertson is still going in his 90s. And if he told me to sit down, I'd sit down. Look, the battles these men have gone through, why should you be any different? We sit here and think that we ought to be different than everybody else who's ever had to battle in life. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Now, I would suggest to you get up and read your Bible every day. I would suggest, three of us are going to do it. I would suggest you get up and read your Bible every day. I'd suggest you get up and pray. I'd suggest you go sowing. I'd suggest you be in the meetings. That you some of you guys have a responsibility. Don't even show up for the meetings you're supposed to show up to. Don't even show up at all. Don't even show up at all. Some of you college guys, your wife never comes to church. What are you going to do when you become a pastor? What are you going to do then? What excuse are you going to use then? I'm just simply saying what we're going to have to do is back up. We're going to have to start putting our step by step, putting things in order in our life, and watch what God does. Watch how God will bring the victory in your life. Put it in order. Don't tithe. Don't expect God to do anything. Not faithful to soul winning. Don't expect God to do anything. Not faithful in getting the gospel. Don't expect God to do it. Not faithful to work for God. Don't expect God. But if you this morning are saying, I'm doing the best I can as a mother and a wife and a dad and a Sunday school teacher and a young preacher, I'm doing the best that I can. I promise you that God said the victory will be there, but it will be little by little. And let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed.